We have extra rooms. You're all set. And a pool, so
Oh,
no
wow.
worries.
Speedo.
No.
That hurts. Happy Friday to you, Sarah. We're back at it again.
We are. Hi, Gary. How's your week been?
It's been very busy, very crazy. I did a catering job on Wednesday, and I had to run mom back to the doctor's on Monday, and I had to don't even remember what Thursday was like. My gosh. How about you?
You know, it's been busy. Same thing, running back and forth to see my mom and make sure that things are going well with her. We are still anxiously awaiting the birth of grandbaby number two.
Yeah.
She's actually due today.
Hello.
So, but no one in our family is ever on time, so we know he's not going to be born today.
So this podcast may be interrupted.
It could be, and in which case, you know, y'all understand, right?
Well, then we should jump right into our guest because we may be running out of time and just don't know it.
That is true. That is very, very true. It could happen any moment now.
Awesome. Who are we talking to today?
We are talking with Taryn Jeffries of Phoenix Bites.
Yeah.
So we're not traveling too far, just to Phoenix, but you know what? It's probably just as hot in Phoenix today as it is here.
Yeah, but probably a lot more pretty.
I don't know.
I'm thinking Sedona.
Maybe.
Yeah. I've never been there. I shouldn't talk at all.
You've never been to Sedona or never been to Phoenix?
Both.
Well, then we will put that on our list of questions to ask Taryn. So what is it like in Phoenix?
Exactly. And how big is your couch?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get her on the phone.
Let's do. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Food Blog Radio. We are talking today with the very lovely Taryn Jeffries of Phoenix Bites. Gary, I know you and Taryn are well acquainted, so welcome in, everyone.
Yeah, hi, Taryn.
Hello.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I'm super happy to see you and have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really grateful for the opportunity as well.
Yeah, we all go way back a couple of years to the infamous and quite often talked about Camp Blogaway event, and that's where I think we all met officially, and we've had some really fun times, especially on the Saturday night wine tasting party, which tends to go on to Sunday morning.
Some we remember, some we don't.
Some we don't, yeah. But it's been a lot of fun. We had some good times.
Now, what happens at Camp Blogaway stays at Camp Blogaway.
Exactly. Yes. Well, Taryn, you are located in Arizona, of
Correct.
Which I have no experience with. And I don't, Sarah, have you ever been in Arizona?
You know, the last time I remember being in Arizona, I was 11 years old and we were driving back from Kentucky from a family reunion and did the whole, oh, let's stop at the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
and
did stop
drove
there.
Right through. That's all I remember.
Okay. I did stop there on the way back from Club Med one time. And I did have a... They set us up overnight at a hotel, and we went to a cowboy steakhouse for dinner. And that was a lot of fun. But the thing I know about Arizona is that there is some incredibly, really amazing food places there, Taryn. And that's what you specialize in, right?
Right. Phoenix Bites is all about different restaurant reviews and chef, you know, interviews with chefs and that kind of thing. So we have a really great culinary scene that's just been getting bigger and bigger every year that I've been doing this. And we really just like to promote local restaurants and people.
And your blog is Phoenix Bites. I don't know if we said that at the beginning. And that's basically what you do, right? You do reviews and events and interviews. Tell us how you got started with all that.
That is what I do, yes. I had a friend who started it. She was writing for the Examiner or something about burgers, I think. And she started it as a hobby. She kind of wanted to be like the Guy Fieri of Arizona, I guess. And the hobby. And I had two kids, a husband. My husband played soccer and played poker. My kids had their own kind of thing. And I really didn't have anything. So I said, hey, I know how to write words. Put them into nice sentences, and I like to eat. So let me see if I can help you out. And so that was back in 2010. We've just gotten kind of bigger and bigger since then. She, my old partner, recently moved about 2 years ago to Oklahoma. So once she left, can't be Phoenix Bites in Oklahoma. Doesn't really make any sense. So I kind of took it over for her. And so now it's my baby. It's been a definite learning experience because I'm the shaking hands, kissing babies kind of personality. And she was more of the business minded person. So kind of having to sort of traverse into that area has been kind of difficult for me, but plugging along and hopefully getting better. Hopefully.
Sounds fascinating. I love that idea of just being able to go around. And what's the reaction been with people in Phoenix? Do they get excited when they say, ooh, Taryn's coming to visit today?
Well, we try not to do, we do a lot of media events. I have, Phoenix Bites has a really great relationship with a lot of the PR companies. So we get invited to those kind of things. So when they do know that we're coming, that's kind of a big deal for everybody. It's really exciting. But we also try to do a lot. I say we, like I have people in my pocket. It's really kind of me. I have a couple of contributors, but I'm running the show. So I don't know why I always say we. So I try to go to a lot of places in my community, things that I hear, you know, a little bit of buzz about from other food writers, to try to make sure that those places that don't have this great PR representation or a budget for that kind of thing, that we're not forgetting the little guys that, you know, that are doing really great work too, but aren't getting all of this attention because of the relationship with a PR company.
Taryn, you say you're working with the media companies, but do you do any blind food reviews where you just go in without letting anybody know and you go into a restaurant and order something and snap some photos and nobody knows who you are and you come back and just tear them up? What was the worst thing you ever had, or what was the most amazing thing? Do you do that food critic thing too?
So I do a lot of things on my own. Yes. The critical part, no. And the reason for that, when Phoenix Bites started, we have a philosophy, and that is that I've never owned a restaurant, but in talking to the chefs and the owners of different restaurants, I know that takes all your money, all your time, and it's a huge passion and all of your heart to create that sort of a dream for yourself, to fulfill that. And I would hate for someone to read something that I wrote that was negative about someone or a place and have that affect that person's business. Because you can take 10 people and put them in a restaurant, give them the same meal, the same server, and based on whatever that person's day was like before they walked in, everyone's going to have a different experience. And so I think it's, have there been situations where I've gone to a restaurant and I've not liked it? Absolutely. I don't write about it. I write about places that I love and places that I think that my readership would like to, you know, would have a similar experience. So we try not to say negative things, because there's a lot of people, you know, standing in line behind me that are ready and willing and able to do that negative. But I feel like whatever you put into the world, you get that back. And so I don't want to have that attached to me. I'm not a negative person. So we try to promote businesses, not put them down.
I love that. You're a good finder, and I do appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I do too. So along that vein then, who are some of your favorite chefs and restaurants in the Phoenix area that you really love?
Holy moly, that's a long list. My absolute favorite place, if you ever come to town, the one place that you cannot miss is a place called Posh. And Josh Hebert is the chef and owner there. And it's the most, in my opinion, it's the most unique restaurant that we have here. It's sort of along the lines of when you go to a sushi restaurant, you get the little card and you kind of tick off, like, I want these rolls and I would like some edamame and maybe some dumplings. You go in and you get a similar type of card, but you mark off things that you have a list of greens and maybe, you know, different veg and that kind of thing. So if you don't want to try kangaroo that day, maybe mark that off. So then the wait staff will take that back to the kitchen and they'll create something unique. So there's no menu. You're just telling them what you're not willing to try. And they go in and create this whole amazing it's a small plate situation, this amazing meal for you. And you have no idea what's coming. None whatsoever. It's the coolest thing ever.
I was just saying, that is fascinating.
That sounds like so much fun.
And it's always, you're going to get something different every time you go, because there's not, you know, there's not a set menu. We have another really great chef here, Gio Oso, who has a restaurant, Virtue, which is about 3 years old. And he's actually, tonight, I'm going to the media event for his second restaurant, Nico, which is so sweet because it's named after his baby. So it's like a second little baby. There's so many people, and it's new every year. There's just a whole new crop of people that are doing really interesting things. You know, the farm to table thing is kind of, it's still a cool idea and aspect, but we're sort of moving from that and have seen it evolve into something different where the chefs themselves have their own gardens that they're pulling from at the restaurant and making something fresh, you know, straight from their own personal gardens. It's a really exciting place right now. And I wish that more people would come and see how great everything is. We don't get a lot of credit for what's going on here, well, but we deserve it.
You're certainly announcing it loud and clear to everybody about what's going on there. And I find that amazing. Do you get picked up by anybody nationally? So, I mean, is Huffington Post kind of thing? Does anything like that ever happen to you?
Not yet, but I welcome that opportunity. I think that would be amazing. I think my niche is so tight. I would love for that to happen. And I'm hopeful that that does happen because we do, you know, there does need to be more focus. We have every year a few people that get nominated for James Beard Awards, which is fantastic. But we always seem to, you know, we're always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And while it's great to be nominated and have that recognition and have someone go down a list and say, oh, Arizona, maybe we should check this place out when we go. Those people have been typically the people that are on the James Beard nominations for Arizona have been around for a while. And that's fantastic because that's stickability. That's their, that's not a word. Stickability.
It is now. I just made that up. We've had a lot of artificial words.
We
on
do
this
that
podcast.
Too.
Yeah.
Longevity, like they've got, you know, seniority and all of that. But there are also some really great, you know, places that deserve attention. And we have our own, much like I'm sure everyone does, we've got our own little awards for our chefs and restaurants here. And so it's really exciting to see when those people are nominated and getting attention, even if it is just in our little block of the country.
Well, you don't just write about Phoenix. That's where you live, correct?
Yes.
There's other towns in Arizona. Do you branch out around there? I mean, is Phoenix the only place where you can get good food?
Oh, no. I mean, Sedona is amazing. And a lot of people go to Sedona because there's all these vortexes there and hippy dippy people, which I love. Everyone's beautiful and amazing. Not making fun of anybody, but there, you know, people go there for like to find crystals and to do all that kind of stuff. But while you're there, if you are into that kind of thing, there's a ton of places up there too. There's Chef Lisa Dahl, Rochelle Daniel, David Schmidt have these, Rochelle Daniel and David Schmidt have their resort restaurants, but they're ridiculous. You go and sit at La Berge, you'll go and sit along Oak Creek and sit outside. And it's always, you know, like 10 degrees at least lower in temperature up there because it's north in the mountains. And so you'll go and sit along this like super relaxing little creek and have this beautiful, it's almost Parisian. I've never been to Paris. I only imagine, but I've seen pictures. So you'll sit there and it just seems very like other, you know, not otherworldly, but like you're far from town, which is the point. And just these beautiful dishes. And she, Rochelle Daniel, is one of those people that she goes and forages on the property to get different components for her dishes. And it's beautiful food. It's heartwarming. There's so many places. I could tell you a million places to go. I could talk forever about it. Tucson is really coming up too. Flagstaff, there's a lot of new restaurants that have just opened that are doing, you know, that really creative, out-of-the-box thinking. I know one of the trends for this year, it was purported to be a rise in fast casual restaurants, like the chefs were trying to get away from the fine dining white tablecloth kind of situation and doing more fast casual because, I don't know, economy and all of those kind of things. These places are doing not necessarily, well, I guess it's kind of fast casual, but it's an elevated fast casual, if that's even a thing. Maybe I just made that up too. It's a place where you can go and it's not so hoity-toity. You don't feel like you have to dress up. It's a relaxed situation, but they're creating this just amazingly beautiful, beautifully put together, complex things you've not ever seen or thought of. These dishes that are just amazing.
Of course, we can find a lot of those reviews on your blog with photos.
For sure.
Tell me about that. I know a lot of people, and certainly myself, I feel somewhat awkward going into a rather nice restaurant and take a picture. And I've seen so many people take restaurant photos, and they're just kind of half-ass, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so you do that. You go into a restaurant, you take these nice photos and such. How do you pull off the photo taking in a restaurant? What's your tips? Do you have anything you can share with us?
I try to always sit sort of at a table that's kind of out of the way. So if in one of those situations where I'm just going on my own and nobody invited me and I'm just trying to check it out, I'll try to sit kind of off to the side and no flash ever. That's really, really bad. You can fix any kind of lighting issues in an editing program. And I think it's nowadays, everybody's doing it. Everybody's a food blogger. Everybody's a food influencer on Instagram. So it's something that I think is becoming more mainstream. There are certain situations where I won't, if it's a fancy pants kind of place and I'm trying to get a really authentic experience, I don't want to kind of draw that attention to myself. I won't take pictures, but I'll make kind of notes about everything that I had. And afterwards, I can figure out who owns or represents the restaurant, and get, you know, their photos from them. Or I can make some sort of agreement or situation where I can go in again afterwards and say, hey, I came in this day. Can I come in and take some photos of some dishes? So
now when you go in and take pictures, do you use your phone or do you actually go in with a really nice like What are those cameras called? You know, those real cameras that big people use that are not my iPhone.
Yeah, the DSLR. I don't have one of those. I have my iPhone, and I've gotten pretty good at photo, you know, like I was talking about the photo editing software. I've gotten pretty good at that, and I'm comfortable with myself and my ability with that situation to just kind of stick with that. The fancy pants DSLR cameras scare the heck out of me. There's too many buttons. There's just too many factors, and I'm scared of it. So I'm cool with my phone. Me and my phone are friends, and I haven't had any kind of issues with that. I've learned a lot. Like I said, you know, in the past 2 years, I've had to learn a whole bunch. So I take a lot of, you know, look out for webinars and that kind of thing, instructional videos. Google is my friend, and kind of figuring it all out that way. So no fancy stuff here. You can take nice pictures with your phone.
I'm with you 100% there.
So good points. Now, the big question I have, actually I have two questions, and I'm going to give you both of them. Just answer one at a time, please. The first question is, can you share with us some tips on how to approach a restaurant about doing a review with them? And the second question is also, how do you approach a media organization or such and say, hey, you know, I want to work with you? Because I certainly want to know, and I think a lot of people do want to know. If you have any advice, that would be awesome.
For the first question, if the way that social media is right now, everybody's pretty much on some sort of platform, right? So the best, and they want influencers. I don't like that word, but I'll take it, I guess. They want people to come in to their restaurant or their business, whatever it may be, who have a following and people that are listening to what they're saying. So I have found, I do a lot of work. I write for two magazines locally too. And I've found that if I can't find some sort of contact person on their website, I'll just go through Facebook message. I'll send them a message and say, hey, you know, this is who I am. And I'm wanting to see if, you know, we could partner together, or I came in 2 weeks ago and then again a week ago and wanted to see if I could get some photos, you know, if that's the specific situation. I think those kind of businesses, especially the ones that don't have the representation through a PR or media company, they're really eager for you to come in and to sit down and talk with them and to see, you know, to get the kind of behind the scenes. Because there's one experience that you get when you, you know, go to experience the restaurant and the food, but it's a whole nother story when you go and talk with the owners and find out, like, how did you get here? What was the motivation? Like, how do you craft your menus? Where do you source from? That kind of thing. So that adds an extra element to any type of review that I do. With the peer companies, a lot of times the relationships, they'll reach out to us because of the numbers that we have or whatever, or what it is that we're doing. If there is a place that pops up that I haven't made a connection with that person, I mean, we've been doing it for 6 years, so I pretty much know all the PR people locally. But if there was somebody to come up, you know, I'm going to send them an email and say, hey, I noticed that you are representing this restaurant. I would really love to come in and interview the chef. Not like, hey, you want to spot me for dinner? That's not a good way to get to get in. Don't ever ask for stuff for free. Wait for them to offer it to you. So I'll go, you know, and say, hey, I've got a story idea on this restaurant. I see that you represent them. Can you help me set up something with the chef so I can do an interview and get, you know, a whole 360 kind of view of the restaurant?
That is really cool. I think I agree with you. One of my favorite parts of one of the other things that I do, the monthly column that I write for, is being able to go and talk to the owners of a restaurant or of a farm or whatever, and get that behind the scenes story. You know, tell us about how this all started. To me, that's fascinating, getting that people connection.
Well, and I'm different from y'all in that I don't really cook. I'm a really good eater, but I'm not a fantastic maker of food. So that's one of the reasons why I love going in and talking to the chefs, because I don't know how someone can look at these five ingredients and say, oh, I can put this with, pair these two things together and make this amazing meal. I'm getting better at it because I'm having that sort of exposure to the chef and where it comes from and being able to, you know, separate different flavors and textures and know how to explain that to someone else. So in doing that, I'm getting a better perspective, but I still need a recipe or I can't do a thing. So people that can create like that and make not only, you know, a heartwarming, complex dish, but also something that's so visually, you know, aesthetically pleasing. I just can't even with you people. I can't.
Well, it's amazing what they do in restaurants these days. I mean, even if it's fast casual, it still comes out quite often well presented and absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What are some of the media companies that you've worked with?
Well, they're all local. There are two really big ones. A lot of them, I mean, some of them go through if it's a resort restaurant, it's those resorts have their own PR people on staff, but there's like specifically like names.
Well, if you had some to drop, you know, and name drops, that would be cool. If not, don't worry about it. Just curious. Little rabbit here.
The two major ones are Knife and Fork Media and Evolve, and they deal specifically. Knife and Fork is pretty much all food products, so either a restaurant or food products. And she's local, but she does national representation. So she's really Susie Tim. Get in touch with her. She's fantastic. And then Evolve is another one that they do a lot of restaurants, but they also represent like the Phoenix Ballet and doctors and that kind of thing. But they have a lot of restaurant clients. Aw Collective is one, AWE. Ty Largo is the principal of that company, and he has a lot of restaurants under his business too. He's actually the one that's coordinating the dinner that I'm going to tonight at Nico's.
Nice. So Taryn, if you were to give advice to someone who was looking around at maybe their small little area and wanting to do the same thing that you do in Phoenix, what would be some advice that you would give them? Where would you give them ideas to start?
I think the best way to start is just to do it. Find a place that you really love, that you've gone to, you know, multiple times, that maybe you have a relationship with, you get the same server every time you go or something like that. You really love the bartender. Go into that place, write about it, share, you know, break it down, the ambiance of the restaurant, the way that, you know, the table is set, the way that the bar looks, the kind of service that you get. Just break down your entire experience so that you, as if you're telling a friend, oh my gosh, I went to this great restaurant. These are all the things that that happened. This is what you would totally love about it. That's how I write. I know there are a lot of writers here that, you know, use a lot of big words and try to confuse people with the piquant dress. I don't know, whatever. People try to overcomplicate food. It's food, right? It's not really complex. It's food. So if you can break it down to another person so that they feel like they're hungry. They're hungry for what it is that you're talking about. That I think is the best way to do it. Then get into, you know, if you do get the, you really like the bartender at the restaurant, talk to him, interview him. What, you know, how do you come up with your, you know, these special drinks? Do you have any influence on what goes on the menu? You know, there's so many different ways that you can take writing about a restaurant, but the very best thing that you can do is just find out the one thing that you love the most about this particular place, maybe that you go to all the time, like I said, and just start writing about it. Go to another place and write about that, and people will pay attention. Pimp it out on all the social media too, because that's super important. And somebody's going to notice. And if you really have a passion for what you're writing about, other people are going to care. You're going to make a connection with someone and they're going to care. If you want to get on the lists for fancy pants parties, figure out who the PR people, the media companies in your area are, and make, you know, reach out to them and say, hey, I'm really interested in getting into this, you know, I'm just starting writing and I want to maybe meet with the chef. That's your way in. That's your door. So if you reach out and give them a reason to want to help you, they will absolutely help you, because what's good for their client is good for them.
Yeah. Great advice. Thanks, Taryn.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Do you use, you talk about social media, do you use Yelp or Travelocity or anything like that, those review sites to get your name out there?
No. I think that we did initially in the beginning, and I think we have like a fancier Yelp account for bloggers or writers, but I haven't really paid any attention to that. And that, I think, because Yelp, in my opinion, has become, it's an icky place. I think it's a place where people feel super comfortable to complain about anything bad that happened. And again, it goes with my philosophy. If I have a problem at a restaurant, if something wonky happens, I'm not going to go out and tell, you know, whoever's following me. I want to talk to the restaurant and I want to tell them. And I think that that's just a different mentality. The mentality on Yelp is, this person, you know, had on black shoes and I don't like black shoes, so I hate everything about your restaurant. That's silly goose to me. And there's a lot of unnecessary stuff that happens there. So I kind of stick, I'm my own Yelp.
You go, girl. Well, what's the future for Phoenix Bites?
I made some goals for myself this year, and I'm a little freaked out because we're almost halfway through the year. But it's my hope for my little baby business to become the authority on where to eat in Phoenix, who are the best, you know, the best places to go to, who are the chefs that you need to watch out for. So my goal is to be on the radio once a week. Any radio station, help me out here, guys.
Like, who are the big radio stations in Phoenix? Let us know.
To give like a rundown of events. Like, here are the best culinary events that are happening this week. And then eventually I'd like to be able to do that maybe on television too. Who knows? I'm in the process of creating a cookbook. Again, not my recipes, people, I promise. But a collection of recipes from the best and the brightest chefs in Arizona. I've got about 40 contributions so far. So that's a good start, right?
Yeah,
that's great.
Okay. Absolutely. So I'm hoping to have that done by the end of the year, like before Christmas maybe, to buy this book. And we're actually, it's scheduled for 9% of the revenue from the book will go to 3 different local charities that help to what's the word? I'm bad. I write really good, not so much talky. to prevent childhood hunger. So okay. That's kind of a cool thing. I've actually also started, I modeled it after FBLA, which I got, for the record, permission from Dorothy to do. I started FBAZ. So I created this group on Facebook where all the local writers, there's sometimes a stigma previously that I experienced with writers kind of like sticking to themselves and like, oh, I don't want you to know about this story. I don't want you to have this connection. So I took a lesson from what y'all do and created this community to share information. So we have over 250 members right now, and I've allowed some PR people to come in because that's good opportunities for the writers, because there's some writers that have been writing for about 5 minutes. And then you've got some people that are on the other end of the spectrum that have been doing it forever. And we all have a lot of information to share with each other. And it's a big community. Like, we all have different backgrounds and personalities and ways of writing. So kind of trying to get everybody together. And I've been doing some events, like coordinating some media events for the people in my group to be able to go in and have a more intimate situation in the restaurant, meet the chef, see what they're doing, be able to ask questions. And it's been really fun. And I'm super proud of that. Nice. I'm excited.
Yeah. You should be proud.
Yeah, that is really awesome. For our listeners who don't know, so when you were referring to FBLA, you're talking about Food Bloggers Los Angeles. So, and then your group then would be Food Bloggers Arizona?
Yes.
Awesome.
Very nice. Well, yeah. Congratulations on that. That's huge.
No, that's great. The Food Bloggers group here in Los Angeles is very big, and they are just amazing. Some wonderful people who are involved there and, you know, really take pride in what they're doing. And so that's great that you're taking from them. And I'm sure your Phoenix group is equally as wonderful.
They're pretty cool.
Nice. Well, Taryn, we are at the end of our podcast here. So why don't you take a minute or so and tell everybody where they can find you.
Okie dokie. You can find the website, phoenixbites.com, and we're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, all as the little at Phoenix Bites. Nice. So if you're looking for really delicious, enticing photos or recaps of events, or want to know where you should go when you get to Arizona, check it out.
All right. So if I want to, as a budding food blogger, I want to find out how to do what you do, I can reach out to you and learn some more stuff.
Absolutely. I, you know, like I said, I took the model and the lead from the amazing people that I've met over the course of visits to Camp Blogaway, and being open and sharing your knowledge, I think, is so important. And we're all after the greater good. We all love food. We all want to share our love of food. So if there's any way or any person that thinks that I can help them, I will do it with a smile.
Nice. Thank you so much for that. Okay, Taryn and Sarah, it's time to say goodbye, wind down. And Taryn, thank you so much for the interview today and your insight to what you do. I'm going to buy a ticket to Phoenix and just go down there and cruise food places with you.
You know, we didn't ask about her couch.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a big couch for Sarah and I to come and visit for our 2017 World Food Tour?
We have extra rooms. You're all set. And a pool. So no worries.
Speedo.
No.
That hurts, Sarah. All right, you guys. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Thanks, Taryn.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, I so totally want to go to Arizona and check out some of these recommendations that Taryn had. I mean, fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
Right? She's got some great things happening there. And I think everyone needs to go check out her website at phoenixbites.com.
Yeah, she's got her thumb on all of it. So yep, looking forward to that. Big expansion plan. She's going to have some great growth. And I'm so happy she was our guest.
Me too.
All right. Well, Sarah, we are done for another podcast here. I'm super happy that went as well as it did. And they're going to find this on iTunes. They're going to find this on Stitcher, on our website. at foodblogradio.com on Facebook.
And don't forget to catch us on Twitter at foodblogradio.
At foodblogradio. And you can also write to us at Gary at foodblogradio and
Sarah at foodblogradio.com. Yes.
Because we don't get any love mail.
We would like some fan mail.
Okay, fan mail.
Yeah. All right, everybody. You have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Awesome. Take care. Good luck on that grandbaby, kiddo.
Thank you. We'll let you know. Bye.